Good singing this morning.
Amen.
We appreciate these songs. What a blessing they are to us.
Amen.
Yes. And we just need to remember what that song says, you know. The battle is His, victory is mine. And victory is sweet. The Lord said He would never leave us nor forsake us. He said that there would never be a battle that we would have to face by ourselves. But if we just remember whose we are in Christ Jesus and call upon Him, He would come and help us with our battles that we have to go through in this life. In the book of Mark, in the 4th chapter, is where we'll be reading from this morning. And I believe it was on Wednesday night, maybe last Sunday night, I made mention of some of this thought that the Lord laid upon my heart. And I can't get rid of it, so I just want to preach it to you this morning, if that'd be all right. And God is good, and He's blessed every one of us. We all have been blessed above, abundantly above, what we ever deserve to be. And this is not the end of it yet. How many of you know we got better things coming than what we've already tasted? Amen. It's almost like somebody that has put together a good meal, and you sit down and you enjoy it, and you think, man, it just can't get no better than this. And then they say, Checky, I got dessert coming. It's like, oh my goodness. That's the way God is with us today. In the book of Mark, in the 4th chapter, if you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word, go with us down to the 3rd verse, reading down through and including the 9th verse this morning. He says in the 3rd verse, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And stop reading there for that 9th verse, and you can be seated in the house of the Lord. And as I said, I made mention of this last weekend, I believe it was. But this is my thought this morning, the text that God has laid in upon my heart is today, while you pray for us for a few minutes of time, what's that in my garden and how did it get there? What's that in my garden and how did it get there? And this is a very appropriate message, I think, for many of us. And Sister Pam, and the things that's going on in our lives. And if we will just look to the Word of God, the Bible tells us that none of us ever experiences anything that has not already been experienced by one of our fellow brothers or sisters. And it was God who gave them the victory. And God will give us a victory if we will just hold on. What's that in my garden and how did it get there? I want to take you back that today, if I can, for a few minutes of time and relate that garden means our life, our heart. And we all have gardens. And I'm not talking about natural gardens, but I'm talking about a spiritual garden, about our life. And how that the Bible teaches us and life teaches us that there are things that comes up in our lives that we did not plant. There are some things that we planted in our life, and cares of this life or the things of this life, the evil one comes and tears it apart. And there are some things that we've got planted in our lives that we see it growing, but we just don't see much fruit, even though we work at it day in and day out. But the Bible teaches us here that Jesus was talking to them, and He was telling them about this seed. And I know that many times this message is often preached about lost people, but I want to preach it about our daily lives this morning. Never preached it like this, never heard it preached like this. So I really need your help today. But the Bible teaches us that every day, if I can use this as a symbolic meaning, we all have seeds that we have planted in our lives. We have chosen those seeds carefully, have we not? And we've planted them with the help of God. And we see that those seeds that we put in the ground, that how did they began to grow. And there are things that we have planted that we wonder what will ever become of it. And some folks might say, what kind of symbolism are you using in this? None of us has ever planted seeds of discord. Or maybe I shouldn't say we've never. But on the most part, we plant seeds that are going to bring forth good things. Because we want good things for ourselves, for our families, for our friends. And sister made mention of this just in the testimonies, that we like to see everybody do good. So we try to plant only good seeds. We're very selective about what we try to plant in our garden, in our life. But even to the best of our ability, sometimes we plant good things and bad things become of it. Because the Bible says here that sometimes we plant things and it's on shallow ground. If it's on rocky ground, and when the sun comes out and it's parched and it withers away. How many of you have ever planted things that you thought was going to come forth and they just came up and then they withered away? Amen? And then he also says that there's some that we plant and that the thorns and the thistles come and they choke them out. I think about our lives and how that often we plant good things and next thing you know, Ron, it's no different than a natural garden. If you're not careful, you'll just turn your head for a few minutes and you'll look out and those good things that you planted are being overtaken by the thorns and the thistles. The things of this life has overtaken them, and the weeds are there and they're encompassing them, and what they're trying to do is choke them out, Brother C.S. We have to be careful about the things that we planted and watchful. And everything in life that is worth having takes work. There's nothing that you can just plant and let it go and just it'll come forth and bring that which you're looking for. I thought about this week. We plant seeds, and many of us that have children, we plant good seeds and we try and we're looking for good things to become of their life. And sometimes we just don't understand when a child goes awry. We don't understand when trouble comes to a child, or why when we raise a child in the house of the Lord and then when they get to their own age, they decide that they don't want to go to church anymore. Where did that seed come from? Where did those thorns and thistles come into their life and begin to choke them and Brother Bill, take away those good things which God has given to us? Or what happens when we plant the seeds and we see a home that God has put together and the weeds, the thorns and the thistles of life began to choke them out? And it bothers me, and it tells me that we as Christians today need to be working harder than we've ever worked. Because Brother C.S., I know you have a garden. If you let that garden go very long without getting out there and chopping the weeds out of it, the weeds will take over. And it's no different in our Christian lives. That those good things that we plant, just because we plant them doesn't mean that we can expect a harvest if we do not stay at work trying to keep the weeds from choking them out in this life. And he said that those that fell amongst the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and it yielded no fruit. I've asked this question for many years back when I was farming. I really didn't understand a lot of things. I shared with the church here several years ago that one day I planted the tobacco beds. And I had to drive parallel to where the tobacco is. And I could look over across the field and I could see green stuff. And I got all excited because it was my first tobacco beds. I had gassed them. I had done everything right, put the seeds down. And when I got up there and I took the covers off, it wasn't nothing but weeds. Sometimes we get excited about weeds because we don't realize what it is. And one of the things I don't understand is how come weeds grow faster than that which you plant it? I've never had anybody explain it to me to a full understanding. I know it's photosynthesis and I know that it's single cell versus multi-cell plants, but I don't understand how weeds can grow so fast. And it's no different in our lives. Those things that we don't want grow much faster than those things that we are hoping for. Trouble comes, and it comes much faster and grows a whole lot faster than any good thing that we can look for. How many of you know good things take time? And trouble seems like it just springs up overnight. And how many of us, even in our gardens, and naturally speaking and in our spiritual, our lives, we think we've got all the weeds out just to go out the next day and see that they're right back. The devil never backs off, is what I'm trying to say. He never stops. Just when you think you've got that rascal taken care of, he's going to come in a different form. Different way that he's going to come in and try to take over that good that you have planted. I can't figure out why we plant good seeds and evil comes. Why these things happen, or why we have a good garden but very little fruit. And every garden takes the proper amount of work. It takes the former rains. It takes the tilling of the ground. It takes the planting of the seed, and it takes the cultivating. And it takes the latter rains, is what the Bible teaches us, in order to bring forth a good crop. It's no different in our Christian lives. In our families, in our homes, it takes a lot of work. Some folks think that all you do is have a kid and that's it. It's a lot more to it. And I've heard some of these mothers say, I can't wait until this little one grows up. How many of you know as a parent that you wish they were small again? And how we would do a couple things a little bit different, amen? And how that even looking at our homes, we can see where the weeds come in. And if only we'd been more attentive. And this message is about works, if I could sum it up like that. And I know that many Baptist churches and many of us don't believe in works, but the Bible tells us that we're not saved by works, but we're saved unto good works. And if we do not work in our gardens, the devil's going to come, he's going to plant thorns and thistles, and he's going to allow them to overtake that which we have planted, and we will suffer the destruction of that crop. It takes a lot of work. How can I get rid of the thorns and thistles? Thorns and thistles we're always going to have. In the book of Genesis, in the 3rd chapter and 18th verse, after that God had driven Adam and Eve out of the garden, he said, by the sweat of thy brow shall thou work the earth the rest of thy days upon this earth. And he said that he was going to allow thorns and thistles to come in amongst it, to overtake it if you didn't work it. It's no different in that realm than it is in our spiritual realm in our lives. Everything we touch takes work. And the Bible says this, that the man or the woman that is lazy shall not eat. Is that not scripture? It says he, in the book of Proverbs, it says the man that sits back and doesn't get out and work the ground, that when the harvest time comes, will have nothing to bring in from the fields. Every one of us, and I know this is painting the picture of a natural food, but every one of us has work to do in life. And if we ever think that our work is done, you better watch out. Because you'll look at your garden and say, what is that that's growing? Sometimes we've had flowers there at the house. In fact, I stopped at Becky's, my sister's, yesterday. And we was looking at this thing. And Brother C.S., it had a beautiful color purple. Looked like flowers on the top of it. But all it was a weed. It was about 6 foot tall. Weeds will come everywhere. And some of them look good. Can I put this in a message this morning? Be careful in your gardens, in your life, because there are some things that look good that is nothing but destruction. It's come to choke out every good thing that God has given to you and try to drive it out of your garden. It amazes me how sometimes we'll get excited about a weed when what God really wants us to have is that which He has planted and helped us to plant in our life. There is nothing that the devil, and I've said this for so many times, and maybe someday, Ron, I'll get to preach a message on this. There is nothing that the devil can give you that can replace what God has promised you. Nothing. The devil has a lot of things that look good. And even in your life, in my life, and it's not just our lives. I could even say, even about church, there's a lot of good-looking churches. But not every one of them has God planted. Some of them will look good, sound good, but they've got nothing but words from the devil himself. Becky and I passed a church this morning, and I thought, how in the world can we compete with such things? The church was a big church, and it had a shaved ice truck in the parking lot. All set up. And I don't know what it's called, snow cone. You know, they offer all kinds of things that look good. But that's not what God planted. He said, preach the gospel. Go out to those that are sick and bring them in. Teach them the word and get them saved, because it's not the seeds of just feeling good that God wants us to have. It's the seed of salvation that God wants us to have. We can look at this at so many different aspects of our life. Anybody understand what I'm trying to preach about this morning? That there are seeds that we sow, we plant. And moms and dads, many of these seeds determine our life. Not just 5 years or 10 years down the road, but every day. And there are people that are looking at their lives and saying, what happened? This is not what I was working for. This is not the direction in which I was trying to go. And folks, those weeds did not just come up and overtake like that. It took time. And if we ignore it and just allow the weeds to grow, we'll come and expect a harvest, and there won't be nothing there to harvest. Because the weeds have overtaken them. Anybody ever planted a natural garden and had weeds to overtake it? And I'm not pointing fingers this morning. I don't want you to take this harshly. But you know whose fault it was? It was ours. We planted it, and we got that which we sowed. In ignorance sometimes, and I'll tell on the pastor real quickly. When Becky and I was traveling a lot then, Becky and I was out one day planting or sowing grass. In haste, I ran down to the Farm Bureau, and I thought I got straw. Because we put the seed down and I want to cover it with straw to make sure that grass came up. And what I did was I just got some old hay. And I put that out over top of that grass seed. And I thought about when I cut the bale open and I saw what it looked like, I knew it wasn't straw. But I thought, well, it'll be all right. You know what I had to do? When that all came up, it looked good. Yeah, I thought, man, we got a bumper crop of grass growing. It looked good, it's green, but come to find out, all it was crabgrass. And I spent probably a good day, maybe a day and a half out there after it came up, out there pulling up the crabgrass so the grass could grow. How many of us, and I told myself, how many of us have planted one thing and we mixed it with the wrong thing and we did not get that which we expected, and it cost us more work than what it would have if we'd done it right the first time? There's a lot of things that Mom and Dad and Grandma and Grandpa said coming out of this message, ain't it? If you do it right the first time, you won't have to redo it. Anybody ever heard that? God's Word teaches us that as well. If we'll do it right the first time and not be afraid to get our hands dirty and work in it, we'll get that which we're expecting. No parent ever expects a troubled child. No parent. No home ever expects for the devil to come in and try to tear it apart. No life ever expects for you to be going along and then all of a sudden the devil attack you and you even lose your right mind. No church really ever expects problems to come. But you know what? If we don't work at all of these, problems will come. The devil will sow discord. He'll sow all kinds of problems in our lives. And all it will do is cost us more if we don't do the work up front. Let me close with this morning. People say, well, how can I keep these things out of my garden? How it got there, we already know. Because it's the devil that comes to bring anything that is bad in our life. It's straight from the devil's hell. And folks, we cannot blame God. It's the devil's fault. And let's just blame him and get it over with. When we look at our lives, it takes work. Because our gardens, our heart, our soul, our lives, we have to control our emotions. Otherwise, if we don't control our emotions, all kinds of things will start growing in our garden. And our emotions are very by each one of us. We have to watch our emotions in that we don't allow our tempers to fly off. Anybody else have a temper problem? We have to watch our emotions and keep them intact. People say, well, I wasn't responsible for that. I was mad. It doesn't matter whether you're mad or glad. You're responsible for everything we do and say. Are we not? And if we just go off, we'll allow things to start growing in our garden that we don't want. We're also responsible to keep work on our thoughts. Because the way that trouble comes in our lives, it starts with a thought, a seed that is sown. Now, we all have thoughts. I'm being a realist this morning. Some people say you ought not have those thoughts. We are human beings. There's not a one of us had not had thoughts that we should not had. And if you think on it long enough, things will start growing in your life that you don't need there. There's all kinds of things the devil can plant in your thoughts. Anybody ever had those kind of thoughts when you just have to shake your head and say, Lord, help me, because I know it's the devil's working. He'll give us thoughts we ought not have. And folks, there's some thoughts, I guess, that we ought to repent of. But most of the time, I will say this, it's not the thought that gets us in trouble. It's the carrying it through that gets us in trouble. And that brings up my next point. We have to work on our actions because everything we do, every action causes a reaction. Any of you have ever thought about doing something and you thought, well, what will somebody else say about this? I'm not talking about something necessarily that's bad. You say, oh, I'd like to do this or I'd like to do that, but you wonder, what is somebody else going to say about it? See, we have to watch our actions because we never know who's watching. I told them here, I think it was last weekend. There's times that every one of us could sow seeds that we have legitimate right within ourselves that we could justify the seeds that we're sowing. Amen? Villa's laughing because she knows what I'm thinking about. For those of you that wasn't here, let me share it one more time. We had a neighbor move in. Our dog was barking. She's a barker. And I tell you, she gets on my last nerve. And one night he called and he said, you got to do something with that dog. Well, the flesh is reminded, there's a law of the county that if it's not barking for more than 15 minutes straight, continuously, there ain't nothing you can do about it. In the flesh, I started to remind him of that law. But then I thought, what kind of seeds? And I didn't think this out loud, but what kind of neighbor would that be? What kind of seeds am I sowing? So you know what I did? I got the dog in. And you say, well, why are you bringing that into this message this morning? I bring it into this message this morning because everybody that we touch, we don't know who they know. Your neighbor may not go to church with you, but he may know somebody that goes to church with you. Somebody you work with, you may not know them, but they know somebody that you go to church with. And years later, unbeknownst to me until one day, I don't even know how it came up in the conversation, I found out about it. Villa works for them. She cleans their home. And you know what? If Villa was invite them to church, and they say, oh, that's right, you go to that church, and our neighbor, the one who planted those seeds, is the pastor at, right? Now, what kind of crop do you think is going to come out of that? So we're responsible for our actions. And the only way we can get our garden, our lives in line with God is through prayers and supplications. Even when you don't feel like praying, pray on. Even when you don't feel like seeking God, seek God. And I'll close with this little illustration. I've shared this in years past as well. When I was raising tobacco, one of the things I hated to do was go out there with a hoe and chop out weeds. Because sometimes in a time of year like this, the ground is as hard as a rock and it's as hot as a firecracker. But you know what? If I didn't do it, I would not have a crop to harvest because they would overtake it. It's no different in our Christian lives, in our natural lives. Every one of us has got work to do. How many of you know you got work to do? How many of you got work to do when you get home this afternoon? And I'm not talking about natural work, physical work. I'm talking about there are some things that we need to be working on. Because there are some things growing in our garden that we didn't plant. We didn't plant it there. Because we've worked for God Sunday in and Sunday out. But just because you go to church doesn't mean that weeds won't grow in your garden. Just because you do right doesn't mean wrong won't come. It comes to all of us. Today, some of us need to do what I had to do the other day when I was chopping some weeds at the house. What I had to do is take the hoe. It was almost like a flat edge CS. And what I had to do is take a grinder to it and sharpen it up so that I wouldn't have to use as much force. I could just sink it in the ground and let it do its job. Or so I thought. Anybody ever used a hoe and you hit it against the ground? It's almost like a ricochet. That's the way it is. And you could justify and say, I quit because it's too hard. But folks, when we quit, it just gives the devil that much more room to work. And let me put this in while Robin Sharon gets a song of invitation this morning. The devil is working overtime. The Bible says that when the harvest comes, that the Lord will take and He will separate the wheat from the chaff. Many of us today, just because people go to church doesn't mean that they are part of God's family. Doesn't mean that they are part of God's harvest, because the Lord said that there be wolves even amongst you in sheep's clothing. But when the Lord comes in the clouds, you know what He's going to do? He's going to take the church and He's going to sift it. And only those things that He planted is going to come out. The rest is going to be left behind. We need to make sure that our people are saved first and foremost. We need to watch the things that's growing in our lives, because there's a song that they used to sing in years gone by that said, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. And there's a lot of truth in that. You think about one little bitty seed that wind blows, that the birds or the fowls of the air drop into your life. How many things that just spring up that we didn't plant, naturally speaking? It's the same thing spiritually speaking. And in our hearts, in our lives, there are things that's growing that we did not plant. We didn't plant sickness. If it was up to us, everybody would always be healthy. We didn't plant death, but the devil did. But you know what? I've read the back of the book, and I found out that God has destroyed both death and hell. He finally has put an end, and He will put an end to the fact. The Scripture says it like this: the final victory will be when death itself is conquered. That's when we'll be home, church. And you know what's growing over there? Only good things. No bad things. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song. What is that growing in my garden? And where did it come from? How is it with you this morning? Some of you have been looking in your garden and you've seen things that you did not plant. We need God's help to get it out, because they're overtaking our lives. Yes. Are you watching? Yes. Amen and amen. You and I have to continually work. Because the devil, I've never found one time or one place that the devil quits working on a person. How many of you today thought when you got to a certain age the devil wouldn't work against you as hard as he does? I thought that in years past. But you know what I found out, Wayne? He continually works. Continually works. Sowing all kinds of seeds in our lives that we have to be watchful for. Amen and amen. I hope you got something from the message. How many of you got natural gardens? Yes. How many of you notice weeds grow? And they grow fast, do they not? And I still like for somebody to explain to me why weeds grow faster than everything else. Because I just don't understand it. But it's a good picture of the devil, is it not? How that those things that he plants in your lives and mine, how that they grow so fast. Folks, it's just like overnight. You didn't even recognize what was happening. God bless you. I hope you had a good day today, and get you a good lunch and a nap if you need it. Remember that tonight we'll be having community here with us. Jason will be preaching. We're looking forward for a house full. So everybody make sure you come back and be with us tonight. And maybe some of our folks that's visiting other churches be with us tonight. And some will be back in town. You just come tonight expecting great things to happen, and God will bless you and me when we do that.